Thursday, January the 11th, I began to wake up and get to work. It's like being in the land of the lotus eaters here. I shook myself loose and rose from the couch of sloth. Linden was going into his office in Austin to meet Lawson Knott of GSA and Goud of AID and Ramsey Clark from Washington. The weather was still bitter cold and gray, but we could go by helicopter. Lucy and Lynn accompanied us. Poor Lamb, not very well bundled up. He pulls off his cap the minute you put it on him. And we flew into Bergstrom. Linden suggested that I take Lawson Knott with me. I was headed to see the library site. Great idea. I want him very much to feel a part of it all along as it progresses. So Lawson and I drove in and stopped by the Perry Brooks building and picked up Max. We arrived at the LBJ library site close to 12:30 on the bitterest cold day. It will never look worse. Gray and drear. A huge muddy hole in the ground. All of the buildings have been cleared off it now, except the old KA house and a half skeleton of one apartment house. And the trees, I noticed with great delight, were protected with fencing. They also showed signs of having been worked on by a tree surgeon. Max said yes, the university had made a contract for Mr. Caldwell, he thought, to do every one on the site. Later, we came upon two men up in a tree, sawing away. They told me they used to work with Mr. Erb out at the ranch. We met a fine-looking man in a hard hat who was the representative of the architects and of the university on the job. And then another, Mr. Malloy, I believe his name was, who was foreman for the construction company that had the contract. We walked around and tried to get the site level where the podium will be of the library itself. Saw outlined with a little steel post the long shape of the building that houses School of Public Service, University's archives, their collection of Texana, and their Latin American collection. And at the far south end of it, the group of trees that we had personally saved when Mary Lasker and I had walked over the site in May. The entrance had been replanned, the steps changed, to let the trees stand. I felt quite possessive about them. And then we went to the old KA house, and on the south side of it, there's a rickety fire escape, sort of a stair steps, that mount clear to the very roof of the building, and it's on the highest hill around. A superb view of the Capitol and the main building and the mall and of a good part of the 14 acres that make up this site. Lawson was very interested and knew a lot about the library, more about some of the acquisitions than I did, including the recent gift of a 9-page handwritten manuscript by Mrs. Sam Johnson commenting on a book about Linden's life. It turned out to be Booth Mooney's book. How remarkable that he asked her to write it, that she wrote in that detail, and that he should have saved it. We took Max back to his office, and Lawson and I went to the Federal Office Building and up to Linden's handsome suite. Ramsey was still in the office with Linden and Mr. Goud waiting. It was close to 2:30 by the time they'd gotten up, so I sent the men some cokes and snacks. I ate lunch myself on the kitchen table, planned the hanging of some pictures, and then left, taking Kevin Smith, the photographer, and the movie man with me. We returned to the library site, introduced them to the foreman. I described everything I hoped they would take pictures of. I hoped to do this 2 or 3 times in the course of the building, and it will never look worse. And then went on to the beauty parlor. Linden was waiting for me before I finished, and I left in great haste to join him back at the Federal Building. We called Paul and Dolly Bolton to see if they could drive out and have dinner with us. And with Lucy and Lynn, we flew back through the gray day to the ranch, which is the longest period of gray weather I ever remember here at the ranch. We got back with a little daylight left, close to 6, and Linden and Pat and Jesse and I got in a car and drove through the Dance and Martin until the last wintry light of the sunset was gone. We always loathe to go home to see the day end. We stopped and picked up Leela Martin and took her home to have dinner with us, and there were Dolly and Paul and a bright roaring fire. That's one of the pleasures of this long gray period. My daddy used to say, it's the right time to sit around the fire and tell tales. I had wanted to make a forward step in the library, and the obvious one was to talk to Paul about what he was doing with audio tapes. He has his indoctrination and his tape recording machine and his list of people. He's momentarily hung up waiting for a ruling from the Attorney General as to whether the tapes will actually belong to the university, which is paying for them, or to the library. He added more people to the list. Dolly and I had a happy time talking about flowers and bird watching and the wedding and everybody we knew. We had a good dinner. They left early, and we went to bed by 10 o'clock.